The Five Pillars of Freedom on Freedom 970 KUFO AM Portland.
Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group, Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com, or you can call him right now at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
We do Investing Simplified.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Investing Simplified, the longest-running financial show in Oregon that has a financial advisor, a CPA, an attorney. Unfortunately, this morning, Carl Jepsen is taking the week off, and he's hopefully in a warm climate. But in studio, I do have Kevin Stege, my other co-host with the Baker Colson CPA firm.
Good morning, Chuck. We'll let Carl have an AWOL pass just this 1 week, I guess.
Well, that's right. And of course, we did take off, and we hope all of our listeners had a very happy Thanksgiving and are getting ready for the holidays. And we kind of kicked off the holidays last night with our annual client celebration dinner. Kevin, we had a good time.
We sure did. I was hoping you'd bring that up. That alone is a reason to become a client of yours.
Is
to get the invitation to the client appreciation. And that's always just a really fun event, and it's always good to see you and everyone there. So
yeah, and yep. I had a chance to see your wife, your beautiful wife again, and your mother-in-law. What a nice lady. And it was great. It was great.
Absolutely. Yep.
It's always a great time when we can meet. And a lot of our clients because a lot of our clients are retired and are seniors. And a lot of them tend to bring their kids and their grandkids to the party. And it was great because some clients I've been trying to get to meet their kids because they're getting to an age in life where there's going to need to have that support for their kids. And it was great last night that several of them brought their kids, and we had a chance to meet them.
Well, I don't remember so much the people that were there, but I do remember the prime rib, the turkey, the roast beast, and the other amenities there. So
yeah, it was. I think everybody had a fun time, and I think everybody now is ready for Santa Claus.
That's right, and it's your brother-in-law does the music live, isn't that correct?
Yeah, my brother-in-law Denny Kelso is probably well known here in the Northwest. Has been entertaining here for a long, long time.
Yeah,
and Denny has a CD, and in fact, he's on YouTube. You can go on there and see Denny Kelso on YouTube. Playing with the various country stars that he's played with in the past.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And so Denny's a very good entertainer, and if you ever need to have an entertainer for something like that, he's been doing ours for years, and just get a hold of me, and I can get you in touch with Denny, because Denny's very, very good.
This sounds
like...
I'm
going to bring you a CD and have him play it here sometime, play some music.
Sounds like a plug to me.
Yeah, it's all in the family. Got to keep it in the family. And speaking about, what's going on, I'm going to kind of give a quick stock report here, but I really want to throw a caution out here to everybody. And Kevin, we're going to talk about some taxes, because with Carl being gone, we can concentrate on an area that we like to talk about. Not that we don't like to talk about the law, but we're going to talk about some fun things like taxes and maybe some ideas here at the end of the year that you can do to kind of help yourself save some money. And one of the things I want to say to everybody, we've had a horrendous growth the last 5.5 years in the market. And, of course, everybody kind of forgets the fact that the market went down about 37% and people lost a lot of money, and it took them about 5 years to get it back. But now most people are back, most people are healthy, and they're seeing the market roll. And it always worries me. And, in fact, I don't know that I've said this, but I've got the comment in my upcoming book called Investing Simplified. But there's a story about Joseph Kennedy that in 1929 he got totally out of the stock market before the market crashed. And a newspaper reporter interviewed him and said, "How did you know? How did you know to get out of the market? What prompted you to get out of the market?" And Joe Kennedy said, "You know, I was getting my shoes shined by a shoeshine boy, and the shoeshine boy was telling me how much he was making on stock and was giving me stock tips." And he said, "I don't care what business you're in. If everybody's buying it, if everybody's doing it, you better step back because the market's oversaturated." And so Joe Kennedy, being the wise man that he was, and of course, bootleggers are wise guys, being a very smart businessman, he got out of the market and he stepped aside the market avalanche. And I'm just saying, I can't predict when and I can't tell you the exact time, but I can tell you, if you look back at the last 12 years and you go back a long time, when this market goes up five and a half years, you better hang on. And I just think we're in for a little bit of a shock. And if you right now, at the end of the year here, Kevin, this is probably one of the best times in history, because I really think the government's going to look at capital gains increases next year, maybe moving it back to ordinary income. I think we're going to have the lowest capital gains we're going to have in years coming up this year. And if you've got some gains and you've made some good gains, you know, it's time. It's time to pull some off the table. Take your gains. You can always, if you really believe in that stock, if you really believe it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, sell it now, take your capital gain, and then buy it again. You can, as long as you're not taking a capital loss. You don't have a Weiss rule. Weiss rule means you got to stay out of it for 30 days. You don't have that if you make gains, right? Isn't that right?
That's exactly right. Yep.
Yeah. And right now, if you're not talking to your tax person, there's a little plug to talk to Kevin, because after January 1, everybody's talking to their CPA and their tax person about income taxes. They want to get their taxes filed. But I'm saying right now, the month of December is the month you should be talking to your advisor. You should be talking to your tax advisor, and you should be saying, "Hey, let's look at my tax situation," because I got news for you. For 99.9% of the people, the last tax planning you can do for 2013 is right now.
That's exactly right. And you know, how long do you think the 0% capital gain rate is going to be around? And, you know, with the current state that we have on the federal level, not very long. And you think, well, that doesn't apply to me. Well, if you're a married couple, and including your capital gain, your gross income is, say, somewhere around $90,000, $95,000. Anywhere there and below, you're probably going to have a 0% federal capital gain, depending on your other deductions, and you'll just be on the hook for state.
It's a golden opportunity.
Yeah,
it really is. It's an opportunity, maybe of a lifetime.
That's right.
And you know, I got to tell you, anybody who doesn't think we are not in for a tax increase next year is living in fantasy land. The national debt, contrary to what you hear on the 6 o'clock news, and this is what amazes me. I've heard several guys on the 6 o'clock news say that the deficit's turning around. We're actually reducing the deficit. Well, I got news for you. Go on the web and look at the national debt clock. That thing's at $17.3 trillion. We are not going backwards. We've slowed down, but we're still increasing every single second we talk. That debt clock is increasing.
Yeah, and then to throw on top of that, and we won't bash on this too hard, but with Obamacare, a lot of people forget several years ago, taxes were raised pretty significantly on upper incomers.
Are you talking about the Unaffordable Health Care Act?
maybe so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
They were raised fairly significantly for the upper incomers, so they've received a lot of money already to fund this, and then they've kept insurance rates pretty low. If you go on there and you compare plans and stuff, it looks like you're saving a lot of money, but you forget they have subsidized to the tune of billions to the states to keep the plans low for the first couple years. And then after that, those are just going to be going up and up. So because the federal government is, they're not going to be able to spend the money on that. So,
I've not heard anybody talk about this on the radio. And I listen to a lot of talk radio. I listen to a lot of conservative shows. I listen to Lars Larson. By the way, I will give a disclaimer here. The Unaffordable Health Care Act, I took from Herman Cain, because Herman Cain, I think, is the one who first came up with that, and I listened to him. He's on Monday through Friday on 970 Freedom, and of course he's not for the Unaffordable Health Care Act. But here's the thing I will point out, and this, I'd like to take America and shake it and say, wake up and smell the coffee, guys. Get up, get in the morning, have that cup of coffee, listen to Investing Simplified, because here's why. Back in the 1930s, when the United States was going through a depression, a president by the name of Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the Democratic Party, who was in control of the House and the Senate, said, we got to pull out of this, so what we're going to do is we're going to start a program called Social Security. They should have called it Social Insecurity, because what they said was, we're going to put your money into a retirement plan, and that money is going to be yours for your retirement. However, as the years flash by, let's flash forward back up to the 40s before Franklin Delano Roosevelt passed away, and when he got elected to his fourth term, one of the great speeches he gave, and you could go on YouTube and probably find this. He stood up and proceeded to blast the Republican Party because they came out and said, the Democrats are going to use your money, and they're going to use your money to fund their social programs. They're going to use your money to fund social programs with the Social Security funds. Roosevelt stood up and called the Republicans a bunch of liars and said, we will never touch your money. Your money. Your money. I want to point that out, because everybody on the radio and everybody on TV says they call Social Security an entitlement program. Look, when somebody takes your money on a payroll deduction and you have no choice to pay it, and then turns around 40 years after the fact and calls it a tax, now 40 years later, it's a lot longer than that 40 years. It's about 80 years now. But 40 years in, they proceeded to turn it from what it was originally and called it a tax. God, does that sound like the Affordable Health Care Act? It's a tax? It's not a health care plan. It's a tax? Listen, people, the government lied to us when they did Social Security. And any senior out there, anybody that's 70 and below in this country, you have paid in more to Social Security than you're ever getting back. And I feel, Kevin, for people your age and my kids their age and my grandkids, they're putting money into a dead horse. And it's a dead horse because the government, this is the truth, the government does not know. You can write a letter. I have a newspaper report of a gentleman by the name of Malcolm Burkle, who I mention on here a lot, who's a writer. And Malcolm Burkle actually wrote to them and asked for a full accounting, and the Social Security Department wrote back, they do not have a full accounting of all the money they've taken in and all the money they've paid out. Now, Kevin, I ask you, if you were an accountant for a company and they were taking in billions, if not trillions of dollars, and they couldn't have any reporting, and they couldn't tell the IRS what they had taken in and what they had paid out, what's that called?
It's called a pyramid scheme that anybody else would get prosecuted for and sent to jail.
Exactly. Yeah, it's fraud.
That's right.
It's fraud. And you people out there, when you vote for people, you need to start asking them, what are you doing to protect my Social Security as it relates to your pension? To the congressman's pension. That's what I want to know. Those guys only care about their money. They don't care about your money and my money. And it's time we turn that around on them. And we ought to mandate. We ought to mandate that Social Security is tied to government retirement. I'll tell you what. Those guys would have a totally different attitude about stealing your money without a gun they'd have a total difference about stealing your money if it affected their check. And right now, it doesn't. We don't even, you know, in corporations, if you, I always laugh when they, when people try to compare the government to a corporation. If you did what these people are doing to us, you would be in jail and you would for sure be fired. And unlike the IRS, you'd get fired. You wouldn't get your pension plan, too. They would terminate you for cause.
Well, I think it's just interesting that, you know, talking some of this over with my generation, people in their late 30s, 40s, early 50s, that a lot of times there's just a fundamental difference on how people view government. And I just think if you look back over history, there's some lessons that we can learn. And do you really want big government that decides everything for you? Do you want them? Do you want to, you know, where do you draw the line at just handing your paycheck over and they decide when to, what you, when you eat, what your health care is going to be, what you're taught in school, and you just go down the list. Do you want that or do you want some freedom and some personal responsibility? And you can't have both.
Well, you know, Kevin, the thing that really gets me about what's going on today, if anybody, and listen, if you disagree, please call in and tell me. I'd be glad to talk to you because here's the parallel I want to put. Social Security was originally started out as a retirement plan that the young were putting the money in to give the money to the older people. So they would buy their benefit, and then those younger people coming up would buy their benefit. And it's a pyramid scheme, but it's pushing the money up to the older person. God, does that sound like the Unaffordable Health Care Act? Because the Unaffordable Health Care Act was sold that they're going to get all these young people to buy health insurance to pay in premiums to help pay for the health care cost of the older people that can't afford to pay it. It's a rerun. Hey, listen, you've seen this movie before. The results was not very good. Now, if you could see in your mind a movie of a bad accident happening and you knew it was going to happen, you could see, you could visualize your car going through the stop sign, wouldn't you do everything possible to stop at that stop sign in real life? Well, you've got that opportunity right now. This is an instant replay of what they did to Social Security 80 years ago. They blatantly lied, and I will say lied, to the people. They changed the rules as they went along. In fact, there's a Supreme Court case where a gentleman took the IRS to court. He lost because the Supreme Court said that Social Security was a tax and you were not entitled to your money you put into it. Isn't it interesting that the Supreme Court found that Obamacare, or the Unaffordable Health Care Act, is a tax, and therefore you have to pay it and you have to contribute? Man, is this an instant replay into government monopoly?
Socialization.
Yeah, socialization. And I mean, you know, and don't get me wrong, in some cases, I think, I'm not saying we don't need to have affordable health care. I think we do, but I think we're going about it totally wrong. I think we need to put it back to, and it always kills me when people say, you know what, it needs to go back to the health insurance companies. And they say, well, wait a minute, all the health insurance companies, all they want is profits. Well, let me ask you a question, people. Who went to bed with the president to push the Affordable Health Care Act? The insurance companies. Those guys were all for it because what it mandated is they could take their old plans, charge higher premiums for what they were doing, and they were going to get the money anyway. So the insurance industry was in bed with the government on this thing because they were going to be the guys protected and have a closed plan. When you make a deal with the devil, you better be ready.
You know, I have a close friend who is a insurance broker. And she was indicating to me that many of the people calling her about signing up on Cover Oregon and getting insurance coverage, she just immediately turns around and says, "I can't help you because this is you have an income level where you were qualified to apply through the Oregon Health Plan, which is for the low income type folks." And at the national level, they said they've signed up roughly 100,000 people for insurance programs through the Affordable Care Act, but about 300,000 new people have signed up for the lower level health plans, which they were already qualified to do. Now, I know we had problems with that, and that like the Oregon system didn't have enough money to be fully funded, and so there was a lottery system. We could have fixed that. We could have worked at that and fixed those specifically, but instead we've used like a sledgehammer. Well, it's not a sledgehammer. It's a specific agenda is what it is, as a socialistic agenda, and that's you know, that's who we've elected as our in our leadership. So
yeah, and I mean, you know, in Oregon and Washington, we continue putting the same people in there that do the same thing to us. Listen, if you've got a question or you want to call us and ask a question, you can call us at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-6626. And we're going to take a quick break and come back. I'm going to give a quick stock market report, and then we're going to talk with Kevin, the tax investigator, after that. So we'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management. Price Financial Group.
The time to stop working is approaching, or maybe it's already arrived. CDs and money markets are paying only fractions of a point. How secure do you feel about retiring right now? Call Chuck Price. He's located right here in Portland, and he can show you how to increase your Social Security up to 67% using specific program rules and the file and suspend strategy. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or are close to retiring, and he focuses on how to never run out of money during retirement. Do this today. Schedule a free 20-minute retirement plan phone consultation or schedule an appointment with Chuck himself. Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. Chuck Price at Price Financial Group Wealth Management. On the web at pfgwm.com. Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask the tax investigator, Kevin Stege, CPA and partner of the Baker Colson CPA firm. You can call Kevin at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's the CPA with the tax answers, CPA Kevin Stege.
You're listening to Investing Simplified on a frigid Saturday morning here. This is definitely unusual temperatures here for Portland, Oregon, and I guess we're expecting low teens.
Maybe 10 tonight, they said. Look at that sun, though. Isn't that nice
that
to see?
That is nice. You can at least get some solar warmth there. Well, definitely give us a call at 503-417-7626 and find out what Chuck really feels today. That was just an appetizer, I guess. No. So, and definitely if you have your tax questions, we don't have our legal segment this time with Carl being out. So if you have something on your mind, a planning idea, a thought, a question, how something may affect you, give us a call and we'll give it our best shot. But, you know, it is the holiday seasons, and we were I think last week we had our segment on charities, and we had an excellent guest, Jose
Carrera.
That's right, Staff Sergeant Jose Carrera with Toys for Tots, and we hashed out charities. But another holiday activity is tipping. When you go to your parties and you go out for your holiday meals, and you're looking to tip, maybe you wonder, where do you stand with the rest of tippers around the nation? And a recent study or article came out on some of that. And we've got some statistics here on what people typically make and what people typically tip. So taxi drivers, what do you normally tip a taxi driver there, Chuck?
I usually write him a note and tell him to bet on the Yankees.
Oh, my God. Bet on the Yankees, yes. Well, 15%.
15%
is
okay.
A...
you know what? We got a caller. We got a caller, Rob, Social Security comment. Rob, are you there?
I am. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
Cold. So, I wanted to respond briefly about what you were talking about with FDR, what he said. I don't believe he actually did willfully lie to the American people when he told them we'll never touch Social Security. I think at the time, I think he actually did mean well, but it doesn't change the fact that in the long run, it turned out to be patently false, and the Social Security fund ended up missing, as you know, ended up turning out to be not much more than a slush fund for the far left to basically rob and plunder as they saw fit to build up any number of social programs of one type or another.
Yeah, actually, they didn't. The government didn't get into Social Security fund until John F. Kennedy got killed and Lyndon Johnson took over. And Johnson was the first president to dip into the Social Security fund. So Roosevelt had long passed away before that happened.
Granted, I did hear, I want to say it was Mark Levin the other day, though, make a very astute comment about the way the healthcare thing has turned out. Is he said it in a manner of speaking, or at least from a certain perspective, you could almost call the healthcare fund and in turn also the Social Security fund basically a Ponzi scheme.
Absolutely, you're exactly right. Yep, absolutely.
In a manner of speaking, you could call it that because those that have invested the most into the program most likely will never see any or at least very little of the funds that they've actually physically contributed to the program.
Yep, I think you're exactly right, Bob. That's a great comment.
Well, hey, I'm an active duty Army sergeant stationed here in the area, and I'm on my way to work this morning. Just want to wish all you gentlemen a very happy holidays and hope things go well for you.
And Bob, thank you very much for your service. It's much appreciated. Hopefully, Bob heard us tell him that. We appreciate his service as we do all military men. And Kevin mentioned the Sergeant Guerrero that was here on our show a couple weeks ago. Him and his captain were at our party last night, and we actually made him get another vehicle to haul all the toys in because we did a Toys for Tots. And each year, it's just amazing to me how our clients rally to help and bring the toys. And one particular client brought a pickup load of bikes. I mean, it was just, you know,
brand new
bikes.
On.
Yeah, it was just it's great because these are going to kids and the and this is kind of a, I know Bob was with the Army, but Bob can certainly appreciate this because the Marine Corps and the Marine Reserves unit here, I believe it's the 6th Battalion here in town. They're the ones that that do the Toys for Tots and have done a great job. And a lot of kids at Christmas time are going to get presents because of that program.
Yep.
It goes for military families, too.
Excellent excellent program. I was invited to a recent holiday party where it also the beneficiary was Toys for Tots and actually two. So it's definitely a worthy cause. So back on to tipping. So taxi drivers typically are getting about 15%. So that's kind of the national average. How about your waiter or waitress when you you go to a restaurant and get that holiday meal?
I'm assuming 10 to 20.
Exactly right. It used to be 10. That's pretty low because waiters and waitresses, almost two-thirds of their income comes from the tip that you leave them. 15% has now kind of been the standard. Anymore, it's almost pushing 20% at a national level.
You know, one of the things you when you go to a restaurant, and believe me, I used to work in a restaurant, so I understand how it works. I worked at the Holland Restaurant in Vancouver. One of the things that you got to understand at a restaurant, the waitress is giving you the service. They're providing you the service. They're not cooking the meal. And what in most good restaurants, the waitresses share their tips with the cooks because they're preparing the meal. And if it's good, you're going to come back and you're going to give a good tip. But the tip you're giving to the waitress is for the service they're doing. You know, they're keeping that coffee hot. They're keeping your water glass filled. They're making sure they bring your food on a timely basis. So that's a service, and that's what the tip is for the service. Now, if the meal isn't good, the waitress isn't the one to take it out on. It's the cook.
That's true. Very true. So how about the food delivery guy? Maybe it's pizza, or maybe it's Jimmy John's sandwich coming in. Maybe you don't know exactly what to tip when that comes. Well, the national median is about 10%. So that's a fair stake, although in some parts of the country, such as the mountain states, it's upwards of 15%.
Oh, wow. It well, because of distance, maybe.
And especially in the wintertime. How about your barber or your salon worker? They do hard work for you. What
10 to 20?
That's exactly right. 15% is the standard. Unless you're in New England, it pushes 20%. I guess everything's more expensive in New England. And interestingly enough, men and people living in New England are the most likely to have the biggest tips to their babysitters.
Kind of interesting in New England.
Why that makes any difference. So anyway, that's our little segment on tipping. Be sure to take care of those who are taking care of you.
Well, you know, I may change my big tip that I give to people, because I may change it to bet on the Mariners.
Oh, that's true.
Because they're signing with Cano and their second baseman. So,
well, if you get a hot dog at Mariner Stadium, I'm assuming the price is going to go up a little bit. So,
yeah, that and the beer is going to be pretty expensive.
That is. But yep. Congratulations on signing such a player. That's
We're real happy about that.
It is. Well, this next segment is I find fascinating, and I hope it's not too dry for a cold, dry Saturday morning, but we will talk a little bit about counting detail so that our investors can maybe know what they're looking at and what some of the problems were in the past 5 years. Fifth Third Bank was a bank that was involved in the mortgage crisis. They made a number of loans to people who they shouldn't have made loans to. I guess it would be considered a toxic loan. But they are being fined by the SEC for accounting irregularities, $6.5 million, which is not a huge amount, but it's for an accounting irregularity. That's pretty significant. And the chief financial officer is personally being fined $100,000, plus he's been banned from that position for a set amount of time for any publicly regulated company, because he basically violated something that you need to learn just to get your accounting degree, an accounting principle on how to record these type of loans in the financial statements, and knowingly misled investors. And basically what it is if you or I were to just make a loan to a friend, and we had a balance sheet, a personal financial statement, we'd record the loan as an asset, as a note receivable, say it's $100,000, and it just sits there and they pay it down and the balance of the note receivable goes down, and it's pretty straightforward. Well, when you're in the business of making investments, you have one of two different ways to record that. One is something very similar to that, where it just sits on your books at the amount that you loaned it out and gets reduced. Or if you're going to package those items, those loans, and sell them to an outside party or somebody else, they are no longer an investment, but it's like inventory, and it's an asset held for sale. And when they're considered to be packaged and held for sale, you actually have to write those down to their fair market value. And so when those loans became bad, they should have written those down, and that would have been a loss that hit the books. And if they had properly done that, Fifth Third Bank, their loss would have been 132% higher for that quarter, just that quarter alone. That they were being nailed on. And I don't care if you're talking $100 or $100 million, 132% is a material amount. So this was something that shouldn't have been overlooked. And what they did was they found out that this guy was actually entering into agreements with brokers to try to sell these. So he knew the intent was to sell them, but he still held them in, signed off on the financials as if it was because they didn't want to take the big write-off. So anyway, that's a little bit of a brief look at the dirty, seedy side of accounting, if you will. So,
you know, the sad part is, Kevin, that in this country because of big money that controls the politicians, nobody ever goes to jail for those things.
That's right.
Nobody ever does. And I can remember a broker dealer that I was familiar with at one time when they got hit with all kinds of sanctions by the SEC. And I always thought it was very funny that their managing general partner got hit with a $3 million fine. Now, if you're making $12 million a year, to pay $3 million is, you know, hey, 3 months' pay. Nobody would like to have to pay that, but if you were making $12 million, having to pay three is not exactly what I call an overburdensome fine. And he got the $3 million fine in lieu of going to jail. And I don't understand, you know, if you're going to fine somebody for doing that, for doing something so grievous to their own clients, why that money went to the government, it didn't go back to the clients. I would think if you've committed this dastardly deed to these people, the people ought to get the reward. And in this case, the government ends up taking the money.
Instead of the investors that bought the loans that
were hurt.
Well,
it's like the fine with J.P. Morgan. I mean, that they got nailed with. That money's going to the government. Why isn't all the money going back to the people?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you or I misstate our income on our income tax return by 20% or more, even if there's not fraud, if your misstatement is just 20% or more, you have an additional accuracy-related penalty. And so for this, I mean, this is 132% for just one quarter alone. So that's pretty significant misstatement. And knowingly, I mean, easily you could prove fraud in this case. So in intent to mislead. So it's kind of a double standard.
Yeah, the good old boy network is alive and well.
Yep. Well said.
Well, listen, you're listening to Investing Simplified, and we're going to take a quick break and come right back again with, I'm going to give you a little stock thing at the time. We'll just go back to the Knowledge Trust, and we'll be right back to Investing Simplified. If you want to give us a call, 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. This is your opportunity to call and ask a question, and the cost of that is free, and free is a good price. We'll be right back.
When your legal rights and responsibilities are involved, you need attorneys you can trust. The attorneys at the Warren Allen Law Firm offer you solid legal advice and exceptional service. We practice in nearly all areas of law. We can help you with your legal needs, including wills, trusts, probate, contracts, real estate, construction, landlord rights, business, personal injury, divorce, bankruptcy, and civil litigation. The Warren Allen Law Firm has represented individuals and businesses for over three decades, and its nine attorneys have more than 200 years of combined experience practicing law. By combining experience and knowledge with individualized attention and prompt service, Warren Allen is the law firm to rely on when you are in need of legal representation. We are conveniently located at 850 Northeast 122nd Avenue near the I-205 and I-84 interchange. I'm Carl Jepson, partner with the Warren Allen Law Firm, and I invite you to contact us at 503-255-8795 or on the web at warrenallen.com.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question or even a tax question answered now. Call the Knowledge Trust at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's Chuck, Carl, and Kevin, the Knowledge Trust.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a house.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. And if you had $1 million, you better give me a call, and you better give Kevin a call real quick, because got to make sure you work out your taxes for the end of the year, right, Kevin?
You'll almost assuredly end up with less than $1 million.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, unless
they invest with you, then hopefully,
well, maybe, we hope so. Yeah. Well, listen, this at a time where I want to talk a little bit about the stock market. I want to talk about the rally, and the rally has been good for 5.5 years. But when you talk about rallies, if you don't look at the reality of the rally, And this is where I think that this thing might carry through into the first or second quarter of next year before we have any kind of a correction. We had a little bit of one this week. It was down 4 or 5 days, and then it was up on Friday. But the Dow Jones right now is sitting at 16,020.20. It was up 198 points. It's actually up 1.26. And again, I don't like volatility over 1% to 2%. And you start getting about to 2% or 3%, that's a little too much volatility for me in the market. But where do we stand on the Dow Jones when it closed on 10/9/07 at 14,164? Before this so-called rally took place, the market declined. And as a matter of fact, if we go back for 6 years and 2 months, the market is up 13.1%, or an average of 2.12 per year. Now, I got to tell you, in any other decade in the history of America, that's 5 times worse, because the S&P's always done about 10. Now, if we go back to when I consider and this will probably be the only radio show on TV that you'll ever, or on the radio that you'll hear this. I consider that this recession started back in December of 99. For all you people who want to keep score, although I think the last three presidents have been outrageous spenders, that was under Bill Clinton's term. Bill Clinton was still in office. But if you go back to 12/31/99, the Dow was sitting at 11,497. So in that 12 years and 11 months, the Dow Jones is up 39.34%. Now, that's total. So that means per year average is 3.05. That is terrible. That's not even 50% of the 80-year average.
Well, stepping back and looking at the big picture, as Harry Dent has been trying to get us to do, and not looking at these spikes that happen. If you look at some of the other factors, such as we've talked about before, the median wage from that time, from 2000 until now, has actually inflation adjusted gone down 11%. Workers, the median worker is making about 8% less, has 8% less buying power than they did back in 2000.
Well, one of the biggest snooker jobs going in the news right now is this crap about the unemployment rate being the lowest in 5 years or whatever they're saying.
I wonder how you felt about that.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. And I'll tell you what, I wonder what the heck they're going to do when all those people who got hired, those part-time jobs, when the new year comes and they lose those jobs, what are they going to do? Then they're going to come out. Now, right now, they're not saying it's season adjusted for the holidays, people getting hired to work. So what they're going to do in January when it drops, they're going to say, oh, it dropped because all these companies laid everybody off because the holidays are over and they don't need the help. So they laid them off. The reality is, in the United States, companies are just not growing. They're not putting people to work at meaningful jobs, growing industry, and that's what we need to get back to doing. But, you know, I'm going to go back to the S&P. Again, if you think we're in a recovered situation, I'm going back. Now, for all you people who only vote Democrat or only vote Republican, as Ron White says, you can't fix stupid. You know, that's not really good to do. That's what's hurt this country. We had Bill Clinton who got us in the recession. We had George Bush who perpetuated it. And we have Barack Obama who's even made it worse. So the last three presidents we've had have done nothing but spend, build government programs, and in Bush's case, in Obama's case, had us in wars that they didn't have a good exit strategy to get out of, and it just continues to linger on. And so I don't think any of the three is going to win any prize in my book for being a good president. None of the three were good presidents. And I know people who are Democrats think that Bill Clinton was the greatest thing since sliced bread, but when you got a guy that was disbarred, I'm not sure that's really a good reason to praise that guy. And it's certainly his marital situation. If I were looking at morality, I wouldn't be too excited about that either. But anyway, I guess Hillary's a standby your man kind of woman. Anyway, let's talk about the S&P 500. The S&P 500 closed at 1805, up 20.06, and it was up 1.12% for the day. But now where do we stand for the last 6 years and 2 months that the S&P had hit its previous all-time high of 1565? And you can see we're up quite a bit from 1565. We're up to 1805. But for the 6 years and 2 months, we're up 15.33%. That means we're up 2.49% per year. Now, let's go back to 1999. Again, Bill Clinton was still in office. George Bush hadn't came in to mess things up even more yet. But the S&P closed at 1231.99, closed at 1469.25. It was up 22.86. So for 12 years and 11 months, that's 1.77% per year. In any economy, in any decade, if you were judging these three presidents for the economy, they would have an F. They would have failed. They've had the worst economy since the Great Depression. And I get so tired of hearing on the news the Democrats blaming Bush and the press blaming Bush. Well, Bush didn't help it any, but Barack Obama's not helped it any either. He's got us into $17.3 trillion debt. His debts way outweighed all the debt of the other previous presidents. So I don't think you can say this guy's turned the economy around. And I'm going to tell you what, you and I, you listening to this show, you and I are basically indebting our kids and our grandkids to a future that does not look that exciting. And if somebody could please call me and tell me how you can borrow your way to prosperity, how you can totally just print money that you don't have. And I heard one economist say, in fact, at Harry Dent's seminar that I was at, one of the economists said that when this change takes place in the new year, he would not be a bit surprised to see QE4 and see the government start printing up to $125 billion a month.
Even though they're talking about now that the jobless rate is down, that they're going to start easing QE3. That's an interesting perspective.
Well, the one problem we have, and one thing about what Dent's talked about, the one problem we're having, Kevin, is what they're starting to realize is they're starting to cause deflation.
Hmm.
And if we have deflation, home prices going down, unemployment really isn't going up, and we start having deflation, what's going to happen? It's going to be a mess.
It is.
It's going to be a mess. And I'll tell you, anybody that looks at this economy, we've seen this movie before.
I think it's frustrating because you look at the leaders that we have running this, and you just kind of look back over the years, and we haven't had people willing to stand up because they would lose votes, because no single group or single group of people at a set time are willing to stand up and say, okay, let's do something right from here forward, and we'll be the ones to take it on the chin for the future health of the country. And they just keep kicking the can down the road, and as long as you get yours while you're in, that's apparently all that matters at this point.
Well, you know, we need some people like the patriots we had who started this country. We need people to stand up and say that the two-party system has failed the country, has failed the citizens. We need to get away from this good old boy network, and we need to get away from people being public servants. And when they want to be a public servant, that means you do it without pay. You do it without making millions and millions of dollars. As I've said numerous times on this show and in previous shows, you show me a poor politician, and I'll show you a first-termer. Those people go into office maybe at the start to do good, and at the end, they're all filthy rich. I mean, I kind of laugh at anybody. I'd like to have somebody explain to me. I watched the Democratic convention, and I saw Barack Obama and his wife talk about how poor he was, picking her up in a car they could see through the ground floor. They could actually see through the ground, see the pavement in the car he picked her up in. And I got to thinking, I thought, well, wait a minute. This guy grew up in Hawaii with a very wealthy grandparents. He was not a poor kid. He went to college. Somebody paid his college, or he got college loans or something. I mean, and that guy's worth over $10 million. Now, if he was really that poor, here's a question for all you people out there. How did he make the money?
He's only ever worked in government.
Yeah. How did he make the money? Or did Michelle make it? You know, that's the other thing that goes on in this country. We got these politicians that serve in office, and their wives, and I'll just mention two of them, Hillary and Michelle, both were attorneys, both had very, very high-paying jobs by high-paying law firms. What were they really buying? Were they buying political favors? I don't know. I mean, I would imagine. You know, so it just goes to prove we have the best politicians money can buy. No question about it. And, you know, the only ones that can turn this around is you and me. We need to quit voting for these people. We need to start asking these politicians, what is your net worth? How'd you get your money? You know, I mean, Earl Blumenauer, how'd he get his money?
And if you're the IRS commissioner and you've cheated on your taxes, maybe you're in the wrong profession.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's true. And if you work for the IRS and you don't pay your income tax, maybe there's a little bit of a conflict of interest there. But, yeah. Hey, Kevin, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, how do they do it?
Well, we're at BakerColson.com, and we're going to be launching a revised website here pretty soon with a lot of good current content. So we're excited about that. Stay tuned if it's not quite up and running right now. Our phone number is 503-666-5569, and we're conveniently located on Division Street out the east side of Gresham.
Well, and you can, Price Financial Group Wealth Management is located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103 in the Price Financial Group building. And you can catch me on the web at www.p. I guess you don't have to say www anymore. It's just at pfgwm.com. And I'd highly recommend you go to our website and look at some of the things we have there on estate planning, legacy planning, and investing. But I want to really say about that, and I think next show I really want to talk about this, because I think there's a real misconception about financial planners and financial advisors out there. And I think a lot of people call them, and I can think of another organization that I do hear on the radio from time to time, that they claim to be a registered investment advisor, but probably 90% of their business is nothing but selling annuities and insurance contracts. And I got to tell you, I got to ask this question, and this is a great question for the listening audience. If you know of anybody who became rich buying annuities or buying life insurance, I would love to meet them. Because I've written in my book that's coming out, I've never, in my 43 years in the business, I have never met anybody who became rich investing in annuities or investing in life insurance. They're not investment vehicles. Life insurance is if you die. Annuities are for protecting your income. That's it. And if somebody's selling it to you as an investment, it's not an investment. It's for maybe safe money, because it's not going to fluctuate, and it's for giving you a lifetime income. But it doesn't hold a candle to a real investment program.
They're selling the warm fuzzy of security in both of those. Security for your family when you pass away, and security of income in the later stages of your life, so you don't have to worry if you're going to have income. And so it's not numbers. It's not numbers that make sense. It's security that's being sold.
Yeah, I've got a chart that I've put together that I'm going to have in my book showing over the last 12 years various investment vehicles. One is a guaranteed annuity contract, and it has an income rider. And then I'm also going to show the S&P 500, and I'm also going to show a actual managed portfolio. We have two managed portfolios. that over and above their fees for the last 21 years and 17 years have never had a loss, including fees, expenses, and everything, and have returned over a 9% return. There is no insurance annuity product or life insurance product I've ever seen that has anywhere close to that kind of a track record. Nowhere. And yet I see illustrations all the time, people contacting me wanting me to offer their products to their to my clients with numbers that when I question them, they can't back up. They can't back them up. It's a hypothetical. And you know what? If it's your money, hypothetical means nothing. I mean, it doesn't to me. What I want to know is when I invest, what's the cash I got? Cash in my hand.
I remember you saying off the air a number of months back how you enjoy these model investments where they say, well, if we had invested in the market for the last 20 years, this is what our model would have returned. And you're more along the lines of show me the bacon.
Show me the money.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. let's relate to football because we were talking about football at the start about the football coach and the fact that Washington hired a great football coach and hopefully the Huskies, probably the greatest coaching staffs in the Northwest we've ever had and certainly in the Pac-12. But in football, it's very easy to be a Monday morning quarterback because you're playing the game after the fact. You can put any kind of scenario in if you're playing the game after the fact. I always laugh when the guy on TV says, oh, he shouldn't have thrown that pass. Well, hey, if you got some 300-pound guy chasing you that runs a 4.5 and he's going to cut you in half and you got to throw the ball, I'll tell you what, I probably would have threw the ball quicker than that quarterback did. So it's pretty easy to be a Monday morning quarterback. What I think is you got to look at facts, you got to look at reality. And sometimes reality sucks. And you got to look at that and you got to take it for what it's worth. But if you're not looking at good managed income portfolios right now and some that protect your principal that are very conservatively managed, you're making a big mistake. Again, you're listening to Investing Simplified. Kevin, have a great week.
Sure thing. Tune in next week as we talk about 401ks and some very specific, interesting things that we'll be talking about next week.
Yeah, we're going to continue our wrap-up on year-end tax ideas, so listen to our show next week. And by all means, give us a call if you got a question. Thank you very much.